Today's reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 15. 1 to 9. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that has been thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Amen.
Well, let's pray. God, we give you thanks that you're a God who speaks through your word, that you have revealed yourself through your word. Holy Spirit, would you stir us to a deeper understanding of you today? Would you stir us to a deeper knowledge? Would you stir us to a deeper living in you? In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is week 2 of our series, The Battle Is Not Yours, as we're thinking about what it looks like to live in the fullness of God in the midst of the spiritual battles and struggles that go on in our world and in our lives. Last week, we kicked off this series by talking about the reality that the victory is not up to us, that Jesus is our champion, that he is the one who has already fought the battle for us, and that our job is to walk in step with him. That because Jesus has won the victory, we walk arm in arm with our Savior in the battles that we go into. It's not a matter of us having to step up and defeat the giant, because Jesus has already done that, but for us to walk into the victory that he has. And last week, I also mentioned about the rules of battle that have been set by Satan. That for the Israelites, as they fought Goliath, they accepted that it needed to be one-on-one. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to battle us one-on-one. But actually, the rules aren't that for the battle. That as we go through this series, we're setting some different rules for the battle. That we're saying, no, the rules for the battle are not set by you, Satan, but are set by God. And the rules are this. Our greatest weapon in the battle is that it is not one-on-one, but that it is two-on-one. That is God and us against Satan, not us on our own. And so, right up front today, I want to give us our takeaway point, and it's this. You can have the next slide. Our victory is known as we abide in Jesus. That if it's not up to us, which it's not, then our victory is known as we walk in step with Jesus. This is what we're talking about. That it's no longer up to us, but it is about Jesus. That it's not about us trying to do things in our own strength, but about us resting and remaining in Jesus and then stepping into the life that he has called us to in this. We don't have to come up with some magic formula for the cure for our sin, for our struggles, for our sickness. Our victory is known as we abide in Jesus, as we remain in him. And this sermon is kind of part one of a two-parter. So next week we'll kind of finish off this sermon by thinking about what does it look like to abide in Jesus, and how does us being known by God actually help us to abide in Jesus? And as we think about abiding in Jesus, Jesus actually gave us an image in our Bible reading. And the image is this. It's the image of a vine. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." And he gives us two more parts to further this image. We're told that Jesus is the vine and my Father, Jesus' Father, is the gardener. That there will be pruning that happens. That God prunes those branches that don't produce fruit and cuts them and takes them off. But he also prunes the ones that do bring fruit. And second then, Jesus goes on to say that not only is he the vine and we are the branches, but we are called to remain in him. That a branch needs to remain in the vine for life and strength. I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about vines and branches for a while. But the thing that occurred to me recently, it'll sound kind of obvious, but I hadn't thought about it. That a branch gets all its nourishment and strength from the stability and the food of the vine. That no branch can survive outside of being in the trunk. Now, as I said, that seems obvious. But when I was younger, I know, not that long ago, but what I used to think about was the branches. I didn't care about the vine, the trunk of it. It was all about the branches. Because strong branches are impressive, yeah? Strong branches have the fruit. Strong branches have the leaves. They're the things that look good on a vine. See, no one really wants to look at the trunk of a vine. Everyone wants to look at what it's producing. Strong branches, they have the fruit, they have the leaves, they have the seeming life that comes from the vine and the trunk. And they're good for climbing as well. But no strong branch is actually any good apart from the vine. If it's taken away from the trunk of the vine, it loses its source of nourishment. It loses its source of strength and the thing that is holding it up. A strong branch needs a strong trunk to live. And even the strongest branch needs to be cut back at times. It needs to have the pruning happen to it. See, on a fruit tree, on a grapevine, if a branch isn't pruned, eventually it will stop producing good fruit. That it might produce fruit for a while, but eventually it will either become too big and fall off. It won't be able to produce the fruit because all its nourishment is actually going to sustain its size rather than producing its aim. And also, it can eventually tangle itself up and cut itself off from that source of nourishment. So pruning helps even the strongest branch reach its aim. That it actually maintains this branch doing what it's supposed to do, producing fruit. And we look at the world and we see strong branches all around. We look at people, and we see their lives, and we go, man, they are awesome. They have got the fruit, they've got the leaves. If I was just like them, if I had their job, if I had their time, if I had their family, if I had their upbringing, then I would be all right. And we think about these branches, and we go, man, they look impressive. and we want to be like them. And the strong branches will eventually, if they're not connected to the vine, to Jesus, will wither and crack and lose their source of strength. They'll lose their pretty leaves and their pretty fruit. They'll be worthless because they've lost their source of nourishment. And yes, strong branches look impressive. And we look at the world and we go, if I can just have that, if I can have that self-discipline to do what they're doing, if I can have the self-discipline to get up at 5 a.m. and go to the gym and pump an hour and a half of iron, and then I'll go to work, and then I'll work my 9 or 10 hour day so that I can achieve all the things that I need to achieve that my boss says I have to do. I'll come home, I'll cook dinner, it'll be a really healthy dinner. I've already had a good healthy lunch as well. Come home, cook dinner, put the kids to bed. They'll be really lovely as well. There'll be no fighting, no screaming, no tantrums going on in the house. And then I'll spend, once they're in bed, I'll spend an hour and a half reading the Bible and praying, and then I'll go to bed.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that. It might work for a little bit. This is not an insight to my life. This is not how I operate. It'll work for a little bit. You'll be able to do that for a little bit, but eventually it'll catch up with you. Something will break because even though you're trying to spend the time in the Word, you're going, no, if I can do all of this stuff, if I can have all of this discipline, then I can get through whatever struggle comes my way. But the strongest branch, when it is removed from the vine, suffers. We might not see it for a while. If we've been walking with God for a while, the source of nourishment will continue to seep into the branch for a little bit. But eventually, as we start to rely on our own strength, our own self-discipline, our own ability to do things, things will start to tear us down. That we might be able to say no to that sin and go, yeah, I've overcome this sin, this feeling of shame, this sickness that I was facing. But then the next thing comes along. And we have to dig a little bit deeper into ourselves to try and get that strength out, to find the nourishment to get into the battle. And we might get through that one okay. But then the next thing comes. And we find ourselves starting to falter. And the whispers of shame and unworthiness start to creep in. The lies of the enemy start to feed us. And so we have to start to do more to prove our worth. To say, no, I am loved because look at what I can do. Because the strongest vine, or the strongest branch apart from the vine, has no nourishment, and so it needs to look inwards to itself, but it doesn't provide. That's what Satan wants to happen for us. He wants us to be a strong branch on our own. Because he knows that if he can get us on our own apart from the vine, he's won the battle. Because we might win some of these battles for a little bit, but ultimately the war, Satan's got it. Because we can't sustain it on our own. We can't do this. See, our victory is known as we abide in Jesus. Our victory is known as we rest and remain in Him. Not in our strength, but in His strength. Not in what we can do, but in what He has done. So, we need to abide in Jesus. And to abide in Jesus is to remain in Him, to feed ourselves off of who He is, and find our joy and strength in this. Abiding in Jesus means that when the battles come, it's not up to our strength, but it's about what Jesus has done and resting in Him. So two things about abiding in Jesus and what that means for us. And then we'll think about what abiding in Jesus does for us. Abiding in Jesus is feeding and growing our relationship with him. In two ways we do this. The first thing we do to feed and grow our relationship with God is to marvel at the majesty of God. To think about the vastness and the wonder of our God. Find the things that will help you to do this. For me, this is getting out in creation. It's getting out, looking up at the night sky, marveling at the wonder of the universe that our God has created. Seeing the stars and just going, God, this is glorious. And yet you are above it all. So maybe you need to get into astronomy. Maybe you need to get into reading about the stars and thinking about the power and might of the God who created the universe. Maybe you need to get out on the ocean or in the ocean and think about the vastness of the oceans and the drops in it. And yet God is more powerful than the greatest wave in the ocean. That God created everything that is alive in the ocean. And marvel at who he is. Maybe it's just getting out in your garden surrounded by plants and flowers and thinking about the beauty and the incredible cleverness of our God. Maybe it's something else, and that's good too. But find the things that help you to marvel at the majesty of God, to expand your mind about who God is. Because that helps us to abide in him and go, yeah, we can look to you, God. And secondly, we're called to deepen our friendship. As you find the things that help you to marvel at God, also find the things that draw you closer to him. The things that help you to understand who he is more. This is reading our Bible. This is spending time in prayer, praying to and listening to God. This is putting on a song, your favorite song, and just praising God for who he is, what he's done, for the way he's at work. It's spending time going, how can I grow and understand God more? Now, this might even mean that you talk with an older Christian about their walk with Jesus. Or talk with other Christians and say, what is God doing in your life? And be stirred by that. And we have incredible stories here in our church of people and the way that they are following God and the encouragement that is. Now, it's incredible to listen to the stories of people like Leslie and Linda and others in the church who hunger for God in everything. And it's inspiring because it helps me to go, yeah, I want more of that too. I want to be pressing into that. I want that in my life. So find the things that help you to marvel at the majesty, but also find the things that help you draw you closer to God. Because as we do that, we actually are seeing the full picture of God, but we're also going, yeah, I want to draw closer. I don't want to step away from the vine. I want to get deeper into it. I want to find my nourishment in the goodness of the vine. Not in the goodness of the world, but in the goodness of the vine. And here's why abiding in Jesus matters. Firstly, abiding in Jesus gives us a greater vision when it comes to our spiritual battles. No smoker ever quit smoking because they know the facts of how bad it is. It's not enough simply to know the facts. There needs to be a greater vision for that. You know, when I was working at Woolies back in the day, serving people at the front end, they didn't care about the pictures on the front of the cigarette box. They looked gross, but didn't stop them smoking. The only thing that was going to stop them smoking was a call to a greater vision. Something that said, here are why these facts matter, and here is what I want in this. That, yeah, if smoking is unhealthy, then actually my vision is to see my grandkids be born and raised. And so I'm going to give up smoking because I know that that is shortening my chance of seeing my grandkids. Or maybe my vision is not to see my grandkids, but I really want to go on that holiday overseas. And I know that every pack of cigarettes that I smoke is money taken away from that. And so it's not great for me to smoke, but that's not enough. I actually need to know that this holiday is better than that. I want to be able to do more. I want to be able to step into more. And so I need to give up the cigarettes to do that. And here is my vision of that. Because when the cravings come, it doesn't matter how great the facts are. That short-term pleasure and relief is far greater than those facts. But if our vision is greater than the thing that we're facing right now, then we can go, yeah, I'll put these cravings aside because I know that I want to see my grandkids. I know that I want to go on that holiday. I know that I want to spend more time in that. And abiding in Jesus is what gives us that strength and that vision in the midst of the spiritual battles that we're facing. That if we can go, yeah, I've got the greater vision of life with God, that it might be hard right here and now, that things might be tough, then actually I'm going to keep pressing into him because I know that he is far greater than what I'm facing now. Let alone that he's already won the battle. That's facts. But if I can step into knowing his life and seeing that greater vision, then I'll live in it. That I'll be able to stand against Satan and his lies. So he says, hey, this thing, it's going to relieve your pain. Or this thing that you're facing, this sickness, that's because God doesn't love you. No, my greater vision is not this, but this. That I can see God in this. I can see the life that God is promising me, and I'm stepping into that. I'm not listening to the short-term fix here. I'm listening to the long-term fix. So abiding in Jesus gives us this vision. It brings us a vision that says we can stand firm in the midst of this because we are seeking more of this. The second thing that abiding in Jesus does for us and means for us is that it will mean pruning. There will be times in our life where God will prune us. I learned about some vine growers this week and some of their practices. Vine growers actually prune their grapevines twice. They prune it at the end of the season. That's often the pruning we think about. The fruit has been produced. They cut back the branches so that next season, having gone dormant, they can then push again and produce that fruit, produce that full fruit. Sometimes we see that in our life. God will prune us. Things have been good for a season and we start to feel like that's dripping away, and God will cut that off and say, no, I'm calling you into this in the next thing. The other time that vine growers prune their vines is early in the season, when the first fruits have started to come. On the vine, the first bunch of grapes might come through. And so what vine growers do is actually to produce more fruit, they cut off those first little bits, those first shoots. This will mean that in our lives, there might be something that looks good, that seems to start to work well. But abiding in Jesus and seeing his greater vision will actually mean that that thing gets cut back so that we can step into more. It'll mean that we are pruned in our lives. And this will be a struggle for us. No one likes being pruned. No one likes being stripped back, stripped bare and stripped vulnerable. But pruning helps us to produce godliness in us. It is God saying, I want you to draw deeper into me. I want you to live the fullest of life. How do we recognize pruning compared to Satan battling against us? Well, pruning is God trying to draw us deeper into his fullest life for us. Satan battling against us is trying to talk us away from God. So the safest thing to do is always to step closer to God. That if you're being pruned, then God is saying, step into me. Draw closer to me. Abide more in me. And if you're facing the battle, which we'll all face, step into God. Step into the greater vision. Say, no, I'm not listening to that lie, Satan. I'm not stepping into that short fix. I'm stepping into God and his fullness in me. And the third thing about abiding for us in our spiritual battles is that abiding is not about doing, but resting in Jesus' goodness. The battle is not up to us. Jesus has won the battle. We walk with him in it. Colin Cruz, in his commentary on John, talks about that at the time, at Jesus' time, growing around the temple was a vine. It was a golden vine. It looked beautiful. And as I read Colin's words on that, my immediate thought was this. In that moment, as Jesus says, I am the true vine, he looks at the religion that is done in the temple. The acts of doing that people think are getting them into relationship with God. And he says, no. It's not about doing, but it's about being in me. It's about resting in my goodness. It's about taking upon yourself my yoke, which is easy, and the burden which is light. Not about you stepping up to the giant. Not about you stepping up to the battle you're facing, but resting in God and what he has done. And then as you walk and rest in him, then you fight the battle as well. You fight it arm in arm with God, going, no, I'm not doing this on my own strength, with my own self-discipline, with my own nourishment. No, I'm doing it in God's nourishment. I'm doing it in him. Because our victory is known as we abide in Jesus. That as we come to spiritual battles, it's not about us doing more, but it's about us being more in Jesus. So let us abide in Jesus. Let us strengthen our relationship with him. Let us press into him. Let that fullness of life in him be our picture. That we can stand up when the spiritual battles come. We can stand up in the midst of the shame and suffering. We can stand up in the midst of that sickness. Because we go, no, I'm not in my strength. I'm in the strength of the vine. My stability is not in what I can do. My stability is in Jesus.